You know, the scariest thing, ladies and gentlemen, about this coronavirus is not the virus. It's the fact that nobody has any sweet clue what's going on right now. That we are wholly dependent on a corrupt media, which is telling us to prepare for worst-case scenarios, a global pandemic, which is basing its reports on known liars at the Chinese Communist government, who in 2003 covered up their SARS epidemic, just as last year they covered up the true numbers of African swine fever infections, which has now killed off 60 to 70% of China's pigs, raising pork prices. We'll come back to that. The alt media is trying its best to make up the difference here, but we're fundamentally trying to synthesize the truth from bad data. Those known bad corrupt sources and then random reports of freaking out nurses and doctors flailing around on the ground. No one can tell us what's going on right now. And usually with these agenda-driven events, like, say, Las Vegas, for example, there are eyewitnesses or cell phone recordings or other pieces of data that can contradict the official narrative. Not so here. We're flying blind. We have to depend, sadly, on the lying governments, the lying media, and that's why I say nobody has any sweet clue what's going on. Fortunately, we do have history to reference, and I want to pull up John Rappaport's interview with Cheryl Atkinson during the swine flu, where she discovered that the CDC had in fact stopped counting swine flu cases. They continued reporting them anyway. They lumped a bunch of flu symptoms together, even though it came out barely any of them actually tested positive for the swine flu. But that didn't matter. They just kept lying. In fact, when she discovered this, CBS squashed the story. So again, corrupt governments lying, corrupt media covering up for the epidemics that were fake. And that's why I say it's not the virus that we need to be concerned about. It's the response to the virus, this totalitarian reach for total control. And amidst that frenzy of people trying to figure out what's going on, few are noticing that there's a grab to even further consolidate control of information in the hands of these corrupt entities, that Silicon Valley is, in their own words, scrambling to stop misinformation online, pressured by the governments. Facebook, Google, Twitter, YouTube are all adding more disclaimers, more censorship to ensure that when you go look for coronavirus, you get their numbers, you get their fear stories. No one can be allowed to discuss this honestly. We have congressional committees sending letters to Google demanding that YouTube stop recommending and stop hosting altogether any climate denier videos. Get rid of channels like this one is what the government is telling YouTube to do right now. We see Senator Warren trying to criminalize disinformation, which basically means anyone who strays from the official narrative should be thrown in jail. What we don't see is anyone complaining about the price of pork. Indeed, only weeks ago, people were calling because the price of pork doubled thanks to African swine fever in China. People were calling it Pigageddon and saying, you know, President Xi should be held accountable for this. This has been terribly mishandled. Well, not anymore. No one's complaining about much of anything right now. In fact, global officials are lauding the Chinese government for their amazing response to this existential threat of coronavirus. Just what a terrific job you've done locking down tens of millions of people, stripping them of any freedoms, taking, in fact, their food supply and having total control over that. Yes, the police state has been pushed further than ever. And that's what China is doing right now. They are the psychological icebreaker, forging a path forward for how far a totalitarian response to a threat like this can be taken. And you can just hear governments around the world, as they applaud China publicly, thinking privately, yeah, boy, I'd love to do that to my citizens. Man, you mean all I have to do is talk about a virus, and I can stop people and take their temperature anywhere I want. I can burn down their house and just say it's in the name of public safety. This is very dangerous, ladies and gentlemen. And we need to be keenly aware of the fact that this agenda is marching forward rapidly. They have carte blanche to do whatever they want to their people right now. And the world is watching. And as this goes global, people will say, well, they did it in China. Obviously, that's how we have to respond here too. We're just going to quarantine big cities. But there's something else that's going on. It's not just the movement of the Overton window of a totalitarian response. It is the seizure of the food supply. Chinese have locked down a major city and have stopped all food flowing into and out of it. From Reuters, Chinese farmers and supermarkets are racing to supply food to locked down Wuhan. China has told farmers to step up vegetable production, open roads for delivery to get food into Wuhan at the center of the new coronavirus. By locking down 11 million people, this unprecedented move has prompted people to stock up on anything they can get their hands on, instant noodles, vegetables, whatever. Residents have remarked that shelves are cleared quickly when goods arrived. And China has asked other provinces to start delivering 600 tons of vegetables to Wuhan every day. So you can see this is a massive disruption and seizure of control of the country's agricultural systems and food logistics. Everything is being centrally controlled right now. That's not all. Look at this. 300 million chickens are at the edge of death on Hubei lockdown. The lockdown in China's Hubei province is pushing its flock of more than 300 million chickens to the edge of death. According to the Poultry Association there, halting transport in and out of Hubei has, quote, basically paralyzed shipments of animal feed supplies and the raw materials needed to make them. Hubei usually consumes 1,800 tons of corn and 1,200 tons of soy meal a day. That's a pretty big draw, just noting that, as animal feed. And so China is frantically trying to get at least a 10-day supply to Hubei immediately. So what we see here, stepping back, is not just China redefining how we can respond to a threat like this and like I said, a psychological icebreaker, setting the stage for other governments around the world who are chomping at the bit to do the same thing and take control over their population. But they're also providing an excuse for food prices to go haywire in China, which was already happening, but now we have an excuse for it. And then more concerningly, they are laying the framework for taking a city, tens of millions of people, and locking it down under martial law, like conditions, call it whatever you want, but that's the, I mean, shelter in place, and taking complete control of the food supply. And it's not just these shipments inside the country. There's more to this than that's going on right now. China has also stopped shipments of chili, of salmon from Chile and from Norway. They've stopped shipments of lobster from Australia. There's something weird going on that's even bigger than this virus. And you have to ask the question, is China deliberately trying to starve out their people? Are they setting the stage for that country to really be the ground zero for where massive food shortages and starvation hits first? So that just as they're defining the response to the quarantine now, they can provide an example for how other countries can manage food shortages in the future. Surely this is going to be sheltering in place, the implementation of food rationing as food prices skyrocket. We can only now speculate as to how this will actually play out. But I think it's worth calling attention to something bigger going on here. And there are reasons that people are more concerned with starving to death than with the virus. Like I said, it's not the virus that we need to be most concerned with right now. If China is going to be this experimentation ground where the world governments sort of see what works and try out a little prototype of how we're going to handle mass starvation at big city scales, Well, they better hurry up, because the food shortages are escalating around the world. As this channel has been covering, the Ice Age Farmer channel, the situation is escalating around the world rapidly. Pakistan is the latest example over the last month of where a wheat shortage, which translated into soaring flour prices, has escalated. The government declared a grand operation, which is doublespeak for, we're going door to door looking for people who have flour they shouldn't have, and we're going to steal it from you because you're a hoarder. And that's after the price of wheat almost doubled over the last few months here. But the situation has gone from bad to worse. On top of that flour shortage, now Pakistan is dealing with a sugar shortage. We see here a serious case of sugar shortage has emerged in Pakistan while the country is already dealing with a major wheat crisis. If the government does not halt exports of sugar, prices could continue to rise. There's more talk of halting exports of food. You see why China is practicing now. And now Pakistan is also dealing with chicken prices skyrocketing after wheat and flour have gone very expensive. Quote, it is becoming difficult for the common man to buy sugar. And it's not just Pakistan. In India, we've been covering this. In India, after they lost 40% of their onion harvest to excessive flooding, onion prices have hit an all-time high. India stopped exports of onions. So did Turkey in response. We saw Egypt have their police step in and take control over the potato supplies. So these situations are playing out more and more around the world. And you may think these are specialty crops or not a big deal. But ladies and gentlemen, throughout history, and most recently perhaps with the Arab Spring, we are reminded that when food prices go out of control like this, people go out of control as well. And governments are often toppled. This happens time and time throughout history. That's why they are frantically trying to control food prices. And now, as China is leading the way, just flat out taking total control, military actively controlling the police and the food supply. It's also happening with staple crops. I've been warning, and some people have been laughing, because we have plenty of corn. There's no such thing as a global corn shortage. Well, the cracks are appearing in the edifice of the global food system. Check out this Reuters, Bloomberg headline. The U.S. corn supply is now the only game in town, meaning in the world, with the supply running out elsewhere. U.S. corn is not the cheapest, but also the only supply available on the global market, with Brazil effectively running out of the grain until the next harvest comes through, and Argentinian prices soaring, the U.S. is regaining some of its market share. Look at Mexico and Japan have purchased at least 100,000 metric tons of corn for four straight days. That's the longest streak of such huge deals in years, according to the USDA. And we should be pretty concerned about this because, as you know, the USDA continues to count the corn that's stuck in the ground under snow, even in places like North Dakota, where we've seen, based on the corn basis price, the quality is not there. That's not edible corn anymore. Look at this corn rotting out there. USDA still counting it in our totals. This is what it looks, folks, this is what it looks like. When we see, it's called the illusion of superabundance. It's the normalcy bias, the, oh, we could never run out of food here. And that's exactly what happened, believe it or not, in China back in 1957. It's now called the Great Chinese Famine because the party thought we could never run out of corn. They called it the illusion of superabundance. We believed we had an excessive amount of grain, but we also didn't know that our crop yields were collapsing. And so they just kept exporting their corn until finally it was gone and their people starved. We need to be paying close attention to this and we need to be preparing. And after I mentioned that there's a global bean shortage right now because of North American crop failures in all the bean growing areas and in Mexico, we saw pictures from Whole Foods where one of their suppliers went bankrupt, declared force majeure, unable to secure beans to supply Whole Foods. And then after I reported on that, I've heard from lots of people across the United States sending in pictures like these from Kroger and from Walmart saying it's not just Whole Foods. This isn't just some expensive store, la-di-da. No, this is those are the two biggest grocers in the United States, and they can't source some of these dry beans either. So the empty shelves are appearing here, and you need to be preparing right now. And of course, it's not just human food. The extremely wet spring and the harvest from hell is affecting fodder and feed for animals as well. We're seeing more and more stories, and keeping an eye on this, it's going to get more and more pronounced as we get further into the winter and early spring. But already we're seeing a hay shortage hitting Midwest farmers, the hay prices more than doubling. People are feeding watermelons and donuts to their livestock. In this case, we said Christmas trees are being fed to goats because they can't get hay. Ladies and gentlemen, this is going, needless to say, perhaps, this is going to cause meat prices to rise rapidly in the near future here. And another piece of information that might have been swept under the news right now is the fact that the U.S. government just green-lighted geoengineering. Yet another attack on our biosphere and on our ability to have a stable climate and growing conditions for our food. They've actually funded, to the tune of $4 million, some of these early studies, but more impressively, they've expanded NOAA's, here it is, they've expanded NOAA's authority through this Climate Intervention Research Act, and now broadened NOAA's jurisdiction to include climate intervention, geoengineering. So that's been green-lighted now, while you were thinking about coronavirus. It is time now to keep the course, to stay the course, to keep calm and continue preparing for these food shortages. I really think China is the petri dish where they're experimenting with how much they can get away with and what it looks like to just cut off a city from its food supply and then completely control it. And I expect we'll see in China, based on the fact that they're cutting off and killing off other parts of their food supply as well, which is going to have continuing effects. Even if the quarantine ended today, the effects are going to be felt for some time, economic and to the food supply. And this will set the stage for China to be the absolute cutting edge of food rationing, of a massive push for fake meat. You can expect all the agendas we've been watching here to be put into hyperdrive in China starting now. What we need to do, as I said, is to keep calm and to really bear in mind, first we need to stay completely present with what's actually happening here, with the reality that there is a food collapse taking place right now, that these wars on our food supply are hot, they're active right now. And then we need to remember that in addition to these dark forces that are working to enslave humanity, there is too another force that is on our side. And you can call it God or spirit or nature. I really don't care what you call it. But I do care that you turn towards it because it is waiting for you to help you. And you will feel it. If you go out and get your hands dirty and start planting seeds and watch those plants respond to your love, you will immediately recognize that there is a force awaiting constant collaboration with you to help you overcome these challenges, these existential threats, myriad though they are, and to ensure that you and your family have abundance in the future and that you can start to share that abundance with the community around you. That is the most important challenge facing you right now. Stay calm. Grow food. Prepare. Stock it away. Save the seeds. You can see now clearly what's playing on around the world, I hope. And bear in mind also that we don't need these toxic supply chains of bad farming practices that are destroying the earth and providing food that isn't nutritive in the first place. I remember this study that mentioned that we can go outside and find weeds that are literally more nutritious than the food you find in supermarkets right now. So yes, the food supply is under attack. Yes, the shelves are going empty. But perhaps that's just the fire we needed to be lit under our collective rear ends, to take this seriously, to start growing food now. I've heard from a number of people who say, you know, I've been watching your videos for years now, but I haven't started preparing. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed and I'm afraid. What am I supposed to do? Ladies and gentlemen, my answer is the same to you today. With all of this going on as it has been in those years, and it is, start now. Go outside, start growing food, start taking steps every day. It doesn't do any good to fret or about the time that's been lost. Just get down to business. And start spreading the word, certainly, about the fact that our food supply is, it is a controlled demolition of our food supply. I think it's in hyperdrive in China right now. And we'll watch that play out because it sets the stage for how this will work for the rest of the world as the food supply is taken away and the stability on the streets is lost. Thanks for watching. I wish you all the best in your preparations. Let me know what is working for you. Send me a note. I'd genuinely love to hear from you. IceAgeFarmer@protonmail.com. Folks, let's go build new food systems distributed across all of us using regenerative practices. We've talked about the permaculture. We've been preparing for this, and now it's here. Let's go build great things.